Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who rules over all things for our good. Amen. Again, the text for this morning is that sentence from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He writes, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." So far, the text, and let us pray. "And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen." Fellow redeemed in Christ, when I was a little boy, I knew nothing of what's really important. If I had been given the choice of taking a vacation by the seaside or getting a bar of chocolate, I think you can imagine which I probably would have chosen. I knew nothing about the sea. I didn't understand what a vacation was. But I knew what a chocolate bar was. Just about all that the disciples of our Lord thought they knew was what they had seen with their eyes about their Lord and Savior. You remember that they saw him feed 5,000 families on a hillside with just a few loaves and fishes. You might remember that they witnessed him walking on the water of the Sea of Galilee when he came out to the boat and even invited Peter to come out and walk with him until Peter doubted and then sank. They even witnessed his death, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. They saw all those things with their eyes. Even after the resurrection, they were still talking about the things that they had seen, the things that they knew and could reason out. They came to him just before he ascended, and they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Even after the resurrection, they were still talking about the things that they knew, hoping that Jesus would take his place as a world leader, hoping that he would raise up Israel to be a world power like it had been before. And they could not even imagine what Jesus had been talking about, and what he had said about the kingdom of heaven. We're apt to do this sort of thing too. Many Christians are sadly looking for a way to have heaven here on earth, and that will never be. Many Christians hold in their hearts the thought that if they could just see Jesus, then they would really believe. But they can't. We will be saved by grace through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, and not seen. We will not be saved by what we can see with our eyes or what we can perceive with our senses or reason out with our minds. We will be saved because of God's undeserved love toward us. And that's something that can't be seen, only believed upon and trusted. Ascension Day in our church year is to remind us that Jesus loved his disciples and us when he withdrew his visible presence from the earth, when he ascended to heaven far beyond our sight, so that we're not tempted to look for him here or there, but believe him and take him at his word about the things that are to come. And this is also the time for us to think about his promise to send the Holy Spirit. By the time that St. Paul writes his letter to the Ephesians, many years have passed, and those early Christians have become accustomed to the life of faith that we know. This change in Christianity was brought about not by the disciples getting it, figuring it out, but rather by them believing what God had said. And that came about not by their own reason or strength, but because God did send his Holy Spirit on Pentecost Day, just as Jesus had promised. And because God did continue to send his Holy Spirit wherever his word is preached, wherever his sacraments are administered. St. Paul says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." Today, you will not see Jesus standing before you. But by faith, you hear his words, you hear him speak, because God is giving you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul continues, "Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you." Today, the spirit of wisdom has called you to a living hope. Not some pie-in-the-sky dream, but the kind of hope that comes from trusting that every promise God has ever made comes true because of who he is, because of his heart toward us. St. Peter writes, "He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Do you realize what that means? God has plucked you and me out from the masses. He has chosen us, and he has enlightened the eyes of our hearts. He's caused us to be born again. And that's the Spirit's work. How could it be ours? Once all this was hidden from us in the darkness of sin, once we lived without any understanding of the future in eternity, once you did not hear God or trust his word or believe that he loves you, even though you've done nothing to deserve it, once we all thought, as does every other human being, that we have to somehow make up for our sins and appease an angry God. Once we did not believe that we were born into a dying race because of Adam and Eve's sin against the Lord. Once we piled up speculations about how we would avoid eternal damnation from the God who is angered with every sin. All natural-born human beings do this. It's right there. That corruption of sin makes that thought spring forth from our hearts. Except there was one who did not. There was one who was born trusting perfectly, deserving of God's love, alive with eternal life, always mindful of eternal things, always loving, always thankful. And you know who he was and who he is and who he always will be. You know that Jesus is the one and only Son of God. And you know what he did for you when he gave his perfect life up for us as a sacrifice on the cross. You know that he was forsaken of God so that God will never forsake you. You know that he laid down his life, and you know that he took it up again for you. And you know that he's promised to send his Spirit to turn us from our sins in repentance. And you know that Jesus is the wellspring of God's forgiveness for you and me, because the Spirit has worked faith in your hearts and in mine to trust what Jesus says, to trust that there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And you know what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. By God's grace, you are not going to die eternally. He worked this in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all authority, rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. By Christ's resurrection, you will live. You will live again, and not in this corrupted world that's falling apart at the seams, but because of him, you have riches, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. There's no need to fear anymore. There's no need to fear death when heaven is your home. There's no need to live the sad life of those who do not believe, whose only hope are in the things of this world or in powerless figments of their idolatrous imagination. God gave Christ as head over the church. We live in him now, members of his body. That's why we're here today. Why we feel the pull to come and hear his word together. We're here to live together in Christ our Lord and to hear him together, to strengthen one another with his word, and to receive together that true body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins in the blessed sacrament. This is where our true lives are. The Spirit of wisdom has called us together here to recharge us, to empower us, to bring his good news to others, to help one another, and to give thanks together. And he has called you to know his immeasurable power. Just think about those early disciples and all the challenges that they faced, even from the hand of the author of this letter when he was known as Saul. We too will face many challenges, some from without and some from within, by our own hand. Our emotions and our feelings of self-worth will rise and fall. Sometimes we might have the ability to change things for the better, but a lot of times we won't. Sometimes we might have the ability to undo the harm that we've done to others with our sins, but often we won't. But know this, our God never lacks the power to accomplish the good that he intends. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation calls you to know his immeasurable power so that you need not worry any longer. Fear not. He says that over and over again to us. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you to the very end of the age. And he will always answer your pleas for forgiveness. with his gracious word of life. He's quick to do so. He forgives you all your sins. He forgives me all my sins. So what will you do with all that the Spirit has given to you? Will you turn from it to the things of this world that sound more appealing for that short time that we're here? Will you act as though your salvation cost nothing? Will you sin that grace may abound more? Will you ignore the words of eternal life? Will you choose the path of a wayward child and be pierced through with many sorrows? May it never be, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. The Spirit of wisdom has opened your eyes to the better way, to the truth, to the life, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Know in faith, filled with thanksgiving in your heart, turn from wickedness and live as children of God. Support one another with whatever kindnesses you can render, and even more importantly, encourage one another with the Word of God. Encourage one another with your church attendance, where you share that Word with others, with your prayers, with your regular reception of the sacrament together. We are one body. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. To him be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.